Welcome to another episode of the Profitable Audience Podcast. Today we're going to talk about something that Tony and I have been doing for the past probably 3 years, which is going back and cleaning up all of our content. Now, why would you need to clean up your content, Tony?
Well, if you've been blogging as long as I have, you have a lot of content on your website that is actually hurting you in Google. And of course, you understand this far better than I do, but the more niche down you can be, the better signals you send to Google as far as what you write about. And for me, the problem was that when I first started blogging, or when I first started on blogging on the Happy Housewife, it's funny because the first blog that I had that wasn't Happy Housewife was super niche. It was all about kids and homeschooling. Like, I didn't write about anything else. It was like family, homeschool, and anything that was family written was about homeschooling, like in regards to the family. And then when I started Happy Housewife, I was kind of all over the map. I was writing about coupons. I was writing about deals. I was writing about DIY. I would literally write posts that would say, I don't have time to write a post today. And that would be the post, which so yesterday was the anniversary of the very first blogging event that I held.
Really?
In 2000. Well, it was the first Savvy dinner. And actually, I think it's actually today is the day we held it in Nashville. And I want to say it was 2009 that we did it. I'm trying to think. No, 2010, because I was not pregnant. So 2010 was the first event that we held. And so there was pictures all up on Facebook yesterday in my memories. And it reminded me of even back then, I'd been writing for over 2 years and I was still all over the map. So I think it was 2017. I had a conversation with our friend Deacon Hayes about how my site had been hit by one of the Google updates. And he said, you really need to think about doing a content audit. You have 10,000 posts. He ran, I think, Ahrefs on it. And he said, you know, you have like over 10,000 posts and a lot of them are really low quality and you need to think about getting rid of them. And so that became the beginning of this horrific journey that I've been on now for the past 5 years.
I don't know how someone puts out 10,000 blog posts.
Well, because some of them were literally, I'm not blogging today. Hope you have a great day. You know, like a text message.
Yeah. So along the lines of what you just said, I like to think of my site now as, I pretend like I'm running a restaurant and it's like a menu, right? You don't want someone to accidentally stumble upon something that you don't cook well, because that just reflects on the rest of your site. And so ideally you want every single post on your blog to be a very high quality post that's representative of what you stand for.
Can I just go on a side tangent just
Sure.
really quick? Okay.
Yeah.
So when I did online dating, I used it as like an email, like a marketing test, as you know. And so one of the things that I tested was copy in my profile. And one of the things that got me the most results was, if Cheesecake Factory is your favorite restaurant, swipe left. Basically, I don't want to go out with somebody who loves Cheesecake Factory. And the reason why I don't like Cheesecake Factory is because their menu is too big. And in my opinion, if your menu is that big, you cannot do everything on that menu well. And it's too hard for people to find what they want. And it's like a crapshoot if you're going to get something you like, because there's no way you can make like an Asian chicken salad well and also a hamburger well. So anyway, to that same, you know, thinking with your blog, you can't do everything well. You don't want to put out stuff that's not your best. So condense your menu.
You know, I like Cheesecake Factory, right?
No, I do not.
I get the steak Diane and chicken Madeira. That's actually, yeah.
But you stick with two things, right? If you had never been to Cheesecake Factory and you went there and you looked at the menu, you would be paralyzed because there's too many options.
Yes, that is correct.
So
also along those lines is that Google actually has human people looking at your site. They have human raters.
Yes.
And in fact, I have a copy of the 2021 Human Rater Guidelines, and there's all these marks that a robot couldn't detect. Like, mm-hmm. Is this site trustworthy, or does a person seem credible, and all that stuff. And all that feeds in. I mean, you might think that there's a lot of websites out there and a human can't possibly look at all the websites out there. But, you know, over time, you know, your site might actually be rated by a human, especially if you're starting to rank on the front page. And so if that human just happens to stumble upon one of your posts that's like, hey, I couldn't write today or whatever, you know, you could get dinged. Who knows?
Yeah. So So I did this in like 2018, 2019. I went through and I went from 10,000 posts to about 4,500 posts. So I got rid of a significant amount of content. The hardest part for me, and I think you and I had this conversation, was getting rid of posts about my kids that were irrelevant to what I wrote about, but they were not irrelevant to me personally. So I actually set up a second website, a private site, where I dumped a lot of that content so it didn't disappear. Mm-hmm. Because I couldn't, a lot of them were stories about my kids, and you know, they were cute, but they weren't relevant to the business. And so I needed them off the site, but I didn't want them to disappear. And I didn't want to forget, because some of the stories I read, I forgot they happened. And so I knew that I wouldn't remember it if I just put it in a folder. So I actually moved stuff. But that was for like phase one of mine, which was just massive deletion. That was pretty hard.
You know, by the way, everything that we're talking about here is for Google.
Yeah.
Like if you didn't care about Google, I don't think any of this stuff would really matter. You could have low quality posts. I mean, maybe not from like a credibility standpoint, but you know, for Google. Here's the other thing that I've discovered over the years about Google. They don't care about stories or anything like that. They literally just want the answer. So it actually hurts you, ironically, to tell a story and have like this roundabout way to get to the answer. It's better to just write the answer as the first line underneath the subheading. Which, so there's always this struggle with writing something that's interesting to read versus something that's written literally for a machine.
Right, right. And I've just decided that I'm going to be more on the interesting to read category overall, because that's...
Well, I think it just depends on what type of post it is, right? So if it's like a recipe, then you get straight to the point.
For sure. And I'm not one of those recipe bloggers. And this, it's funny because I should say I do a lot of cooking when I cook. I have a recipe site, so I do cook. But I was making a recipe last night and I bought an Instant Pot last year. And I don't, most of my recipes that I normally make for my family, I know that I don't need to look up the recipe. They're my recipes that I made. I haven't used an actual like cookbook for 10 years. But for the Instant Pot, I don't really understand how to work it. So I'm always Googling Instant Pot recipes. So last night I wanted to cook this pork loin in the Instant Pot. And I, you know, wanted like a specific type of recipe. So I'm Googling it and I come up across, you know, three or four options. And I'm literally, and I'm on my phone, right? I have an iPhone 12. So it's, the screen's decent sized. But I'm scrolling for 15 minutes to try to get to the ingredients and the directions, because I'm listening to stories about, not listening, I'm reading stories about Instapots and, you know, all these details that I do not care about at all. And it's fresh on your phone. It's exceptionally frustrating, because then the problem is like I finally get to the ingredients and then, you know, I pick up my phone for something else, or I move it and then I'm immediately scrolled back up to the top. So it's like this fight all dinner of trying to get back to the recipe. I should have just screenshot it, but I've decided that I'm not, and they're doing it totally for SEO, right?
Yep.
They're trying to, and it is so annoying because I know that, and I'm sure most people don't know why they're doing it, but to me, I write, you know, two blog paragraphs. So what, two sentences, three sentences, and then I get to the recipe and then I'll tell a story at the bottom. And if people want to keep reading and find out why this is my favorite recipe, they can. But to me, I just can't, I can't give that experience to people because I find it so frustrating as a user. And I look up a lot of recipes on my phone.
Yeah. I mean, ironically, it's changed my style of writing. And we were talking about content audits. I've rewritten a ton of posts. mainly the ones that are for Google, but I get right to the point. Like the first sentence can pretty much summarize the rest of the paragraph, and then I go into detail in the stories, just like how you have done.
Yeah. So going back to the content audit, what I did first was I actually ran a couple reports. I pulled like Google Analytics. I actually bought Screaming Frog, which I actually think is a pretty decent tool. I think it's, I don't know what it is now. It was like $149 for the year. To use that tool. And then Ahrefs, I think, is the other one that I used. And I basically pulled data for my entire website, which I think took 2 or 3 days to get.
Like, probably, I think for your site.
The first couple times I did it, I think I timed out, like Screaming Frog. Like it was a pain because I had so much content. And our friend Ryan Gana, I'm probably butchering his last name, but is he My Military Wallet? Is his site, I think.
Shoot, I can't remember. I think it's just Military Wallet, right?
Military Wallet, yeah. anyway, a friend of ours, he told me one of the things I should do is, you know, get rid of those low quality pages. And so the factor that he used, which I copied, was I searched by word count initially because I knew I had those posts on my site that were like, hey, be back tomorrow. So I knew if I searched for posts that had under like 100 words or 100, 200 words, that those would be the first to go. So it would be an easy way to eliminate posts really quickly.
Yeah. The other ones also that I eliminated right off the bat were posts that I weren't proud of.
Okay.
Like if you read some of my earlier writing, which you can't anymore because I took it off, it was horrific.
Yeah.
Horrific. Like I wouldn't want someone to land and accidentally see that page because, I don't know, it's funny. When you've been writing for a while, like you get better, hopefully.
Yeah.
Over time.
Yeah. No, you have to get better. I mean, it's just because you're practicing.
Yeah, and then the earlier stuff, I mean, you don't want anyone to see that. It's kind of like YouTube videos in a way.
Yeah.
But yeah, so those are my rules. Like low word count, that's like an easy low-hanging fruit.
Yeah.
I went through, I didn't have nearly as many posts as you. I think I had 800 maybe.
Mm-hmm.
But I literally went through all of them. And I could just tell by reading the first paragraph whether I wanted that post to stay or not.
So my problem with that was is that because I had writers for a couple years, I think I had writers for about 4 years, there were posts that I had never read because I had an editor that did all the editing. Blogging during that period of time where you were putting out a piece of content a day, there were times when I didn't read the content that went out from a writer. And so sometimes I would stumble across these posts and I would start reading it not knowing it was from a writer and think, when did I write that? That's terrible. And then I would look and think, I mean, I read my own stuff that was also terrible. But then, you know, I would look and go, okay, I actually paid for that post too. Ugh, you know. So I had the problem of not remembering or recognizing some of the content on my site.
Yeah, I had that too because I had writers for a while. I don't think, unfortunately, any of those posts survived the audit.
I think we talked about this before when we were talking about hiring writers and you said that I think all of them got deleted.
Yeah, and it's unfortunate because I paid good money for those posts.
Yeah.
But that was during a different era when it was, you know, you had to put a lot of quantity out, I felt.
Yeah. And the other thing that I found is that I noticed I had a couple writers that like every single post they wrote was a home run. So it was interesting because I had writers that, you know, out of the 50 posts they wrote for me, 3 or 4 were really excellent. And then I had other writers where out of the 50 posts, 40 of them were still high traffic posts, or they still got a decent amount of traffic, especially for the age of the post. So it was interesting to kind of go through and think I should have done this while they were writing for me.
I mean, you didn't know, right? Back then, it was a different time. So that's actually a great segue to like the next category where I kind of go through analytics, like you said, and I look for posts that get little or no traffic at all.
Yes.
And I also look for backlinks, like using a tool like Ahrefs. And if it has no backlinks and it's got no traffic, then chances are it can be just axed altogether or redirected, I should say, to another relevant post.
So this is where I made a mistake initially, because I also use the low traffic number. So I went through and got rid of the ones that were just like stupid. And then I looked for the traffic and I did not think about the backlinks.
Oh, okay.
I don't know why, because I had a report like Screaming Frog will show you your backlinks. It's not like I didn't have the data. I just wasn't. I think I got so. Here's what happens when you have a lot of content. You do a content audit. You get delete happy after a while.
Oh, yeah.
It's like delete, delete. It's like it's kind of like whenever you do yard work and you get like a chainsaw or one of those like automatic clippers. And the next thing you know, you have like no hedges because you're just like, this is amazing. I love clipping. You know, I want to own a yard service. And then like 5 hours later, I'm like, I'm never doing this again. But that's how I felt with deleting posts is I got on this kick where I was like, delete, delete, delete. You know, everything was just and then I realized that, oh, wait, and I actually deleted like one or two posts that I had to republish because they were pretty popular posts as far as like link wise. They just weren't getting a lot of traffic, I think, because they needed to be rewritten. So, yeah, I finally got on board with the also checking for the backlinks. And it typically, if you have low traffic pages, they don't have a lot of backlinks because they don't have any traffic, you know?
Yeah. I think the hard part for me was the posts that have low traffic, but they have some backlinks.
Yes.
Right? So what do you do with those? And so what I did is I had this spreadsheet out where I put those posts down. And then what I tried to do is, since it already has some authority, like people are linking to it, I tried to either rewrite them to make them more comprehensive, or I also went through this period where I was combining like 3 or 4 posts together to make something that was much better. That stuff is extremely time consuming, though.
Yeah, when I first started blogging, there were these, I think they called them roundups. And basically one blogger would host them. And I think in the personal finance community, they did this as well. And it would be Wordless Wednesday, Thursday 13, Frugal Friday, right? And you would write your best frugal post, and then you would go submit your link to the person who owned the roundup, right? And so it actually helped grow my site in the beginning, because I became friends with a lot of these people. We all read each other's content. We were commenting, because this is back when people commented a lot more on blogs. And so one of my biggest problems was the Thursday 13. It was always a list of 13 things. And sometimes my lists were dumb, like 13 things I'm grateful for this week. Not that that's a dumb thing to be grateful, but like SEO-wise, not helpful. But sometimes it was like 13 ways to pay cash for a car. Well, that's actually pretty good content, right? Because I could take that list and turn it into an article. And I basically already had my table of contents built in with the 13 list, or 13 ways to save money on your groceries. So my problem was I had posts like that that actually had really good core content that matched what I wrote about, but they were literally a list of 13 things and nothing else. It was literally 1 through 13 in a sentence, and that was the end of the post. So that was one of the things that I had to do, was like take that post and combine it with another post that I had written about saving money on groceries. And so I was trying to combine those sorts of things, and it was a nightmare.
I mean, when I started writing a long ago, I didn't even think about, I don't think there was really a keyword research tool. I think Market Samurai was maybe like the first
one. Yes.
And so I just wrote these titles without knowing what people were searching for. So the other thing I went back to do is go and actually find out, using a tool like Ahrefs or whatever you want to use, and finding out what people are searching for, and then massaging the article around that keyword also, using in the title, using in the posts. Another thing I forgot to mention, that we were just talking about backlinks, right? Mm-hmm. It's not just the quantity of backlinks, it's like the quality is more important. So I actually go and look through to see which sites are actually linking to those posts that I'm thinking about eliminating. And if it's a site that's linking to me with a domain strength, like Ahrefs provides this number from 1 to 100 that measures domain strength. If it's like above a 30, then I'm like, okay, well, at least that's like a real site. That's a decent backlink. Whereas if I see like hundreds of backlinks from really low quality sites, I might still just delete that post or redirect it, I should say, to something similar.
Yeah. Yeah. I did something similar. I wasn't probably quite as thorough as you with the backlinks. And
well, I have only 800, you have 10,000.
Right.
So I have time to be more thorough. Yeah.
Yeah. But I will say, the combining, this is the other thing, when you've been writing a long time, you tend to have posts that say the same thing in a different way or a slightly different angle. Like one of the things I had was, I think I had 7 Play-Doh recipes on my site, which obviously I know people that don't write in my space are not going to have 7 Play-Doh recipes. But then the problem was, some of them were popular on Pinterest. So some of them got traffic from Pinterest. Some of them, one of them had a lot of links to it because it was like a edible Play-Doh recipe. You know what I mean? It was like, so those ones I had trouble with too, because I don't need 7 Play-Doh recipes on my site, but there were 3 or 4 that I really couldn't get rid of. And the other ones I knew would still get traffic. So like that was another thing that I struggled with, is I had, you know, a lot of different posts on cleaning, a lot of different posts on organizing, and they were, it was hard to figure out what to do with those posts.
Yeah, I'm just thinking now, I mean, there's some other things that I did. I mean, I had 800 posts and I had a categorization problem. I can only imagine what your categorization problem is like for 10,000.
Yeah, but awful.
Yeah, but Google also likes to see the posts organized in a certain way so that they're all kind of interlinking with each other. Like the related posts are all interlinking. So the other thing I did, and this is part of the audit, not necessarily like the content part, but the organization, I grouped all the related posts together. So I have a category on dropshipping. I have a category on finding products to sell, shopping carts. All that stuff is grouped together, and they're all just kind of interlinking with each other, but not to the rest of the site. So Google knows that this category is meant for dropshipping or whatnot. That took a ton of time.
Yeah, so that's something that I never finished with the last content audit, because I just got overwhelmed, because there was just so much. And I was using spreadsheets and a VA to help me with this. And the problem was, because I have 6 very distinct categories on my site, which they're actually subsites, but that we're not going to go into that. Each subsite had their own tab on the spreadsheet. And so, you know, one, like the cooking site has, you know, had 1,000 posts, but the like home lifestyle thing had 2,400 posts, right? So it was like, so after, you know, once you get through the initial, I think once you get through the initial euphoria when you, of deleting, then is where like the grind starts and it just sucks.
I'm still doing it, honestly. I mean, I think I started this audit maybe 2 or 3 years ago, and it's just a grind to go back and combine and rewrite posts.
Yeah.
I actually have gone back, and there's some posts that are getting traffic and they're ranking, but I know that they can rank better, and I've just adopted my robot personality to try to just deliver the answer faster for some of those posts.
Yeah.
And I ripped out some stories. Like, ironically, ripping out what makes the article enjoyable to read sometimes makes the article get more traffic. I mean, this is like the love-hate relationship I have with Google. I mean, I understand what they're trying to do. They're trying to get you to answer faster. But sometimes in order to do that, you have to remove all the enjoyability. I mean, we're not robots, right? Like, the people reading these aren't robots. So.
Yeah. Do you think, so this is what I was thinking about earlier. As far as Google and your actual website, they want you to like drop the answer immediately, right? Give it to people and then you can write whatever you want after that. But do you think part of that comes from the fact that back in the day, the blog was all you had to convey your personality and to communicate with people and to have people get to know and like you, whereas now you have all these other ways for people to do that. So the blog is really just to deliver the answer. And if you want people to like you, you need to be on Instagram or making TikToks or having people connect with you on YouTube or Twitter. I don't know. I wonder about that.
I think that's probably true to a certain extent. But what's nice about like search on your site is that people are already there. You know, if you go on any, if you, like whenever I'm on a mastermind group with YouTube or Instagram or TikTok, everyone's always saying, oh, how do I get people to my site to sign up for this and that? Because it's hard to get people off that platform.
Yeah.
And the beauty of SEO is that they're already on your site and getting them to sign up for an email or whatever is easy.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I agree with you there. But as a human, I'm not always looking for like a single sentence answer to something when I do a search, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, I still actually read people's blog posts and I like the narrative ones. Like Mark Manson's blog is someone who I still read all the time.
Yeah.
I don't think he actually ranks for anything though, really. I know he gets a ton of traffic, but he doesn't rank for anything. So I guess Google's not the end all be all. I mean, these principles that we have here apply to humans too, outside of Google.
Yeah. So another mistake that I made, we could just title this podcast, The Mistakes I Made During My Content Audit. So one thing that I did not realize, and this is one of those, you know, slap my face, should have known this, is that when I deleted posts, because one of the reasons why I deleted the content too is because my site was so bloated. I had so much, it was heavy, right, with so much content and images. Well, I did not realize that when you deleted a post, your images don't get deleted. Your images still stay in your media files, which then became a complete nightmare because I had to go back and – so once the post was deleted, I had to go back and find the images because I never deleted the images out of the media file, which that's – I mean, I have a VA that still works on that here and there. It's because that was a huge mess.
Why is that a problem, actually?
Because I have so many, I think you told me I had too many images on my site.
Well, no, but I mean, if they're not being loaded, it's not a big deal. I don't know. Did you want to keep those images for like nostalgia factor, though? I mean, you don't have to.
Well, I've already downloaded. I mean, they're already.
Oh, you already got them. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think it was also because of the fact that I do want to like completely revamp my site. The more files that are on there, the worse it's going to be.
True. It's true. I've actually looked at yours. I mean, you got a lot of stuff in there.
I have like 45,000 media files.
It's impressive, actually.
And the other problem is it's not like in the beginning, you know, my files are like DSC1567.jpg and IMG. It's like, no. So it's not even like I can search for what I want. Like, I can't search for the images because they're. Sometimes I'll have to go into my iCloud images, find the number from the image, and then search for it on my site, like in the media file, like the 4567 or whatever, because that's the only way I can like find that image to delete it. So it's a mess.
Yeah, I don't have that. I'm not as image heavy as you are, obviously, because my stuff doesn't require images. Should we move on to the next part of the audit, or
Yes. What did you do next?
So the next part of the audit is like the technical stuff. Okay. So you used Screaming Frog, and it probably told you like what was wrong from a SEO technical perspective, right?
Yeah.
Did you end up fixing any of those issues? They can be a pain in the butt.
Not many.
I mean, we've been doing this for a long time, right? Back when we started, which was, I hate when I say stuff like that. Back when we were young. So 2000.
Back when we walked to school uphill both ways in the snow.
Nothing was in secure Southern California. On our sites back in the day. And then we had to do this audit where we made everything secure. But in doing so, there's always certain posts that need to get redirected from the unsecure to the secure version.
Yes.
And all that stuff actually is just bad for SEO because you want a direct link to whatever post there is. So, you know, one of the things that I did also is I went through, I mean, there's tools that help you do this, but you go through every link just to make sure that there's no redirects. I think Screaming Frog will tell you where those are so you can kind of quickly fix them.
Well, quickly, when you have that a lot, it's not really quick.
That's true, yeah. I mean, for me, I had like less than 100. For you, maybe there's, I don't know, 10,000 posts, 10x that.
And then I think they also told you, or maybe this was a different plugin that I used, to like how many broken links, like links within the content, which was this is one of the negatives of when you've been blogging as long as we have, is that a lot of people that I linked out to in 2008, 2009 aren't blogging anymore.
Yeah.
Like most of them are not. And then some of them I hate, so I wanted to remove the link anyway.
And there's stupid things too, like WordPress adds a trailing slash to your articles. So if you link out without that, there's actually a redirect to the, I don't know, little stupid things like that that are just not optimal.
Now, the good thing about stuff like that is that that is a no-brainer decision. So that's something I actually put my VA on.
Oh, okay.
Because I had a list of like the broken links. And so, and I actually had her do it in the order of like highest trafficked articles. So the articles that so what happened for me, because I had so much content, is that I had articles that didn't get a lot of traffic. They had a couple backlinks, but I thought the content was good enough to where I think this can be rewritten and made into something better, but it's not going to happen today. So it's going to sit right on my site and I'm not going to worry about it. But I also have, as every content creator does, the top 100 posts on my site that get all the traffic, that have all the links, that, and so that's where I had her start with fixing the links, because some of those posts are old. And so I did have broken links in there linking out to other content creators or other, you know, oh, I had this recipe, but I used this, you know, whatever, and I linked to somebody else's recipe for something else, and like their site doesn't exist anymore, or they've started a new site, or it took them to, or this was the other problem, it took them, the link took them to a website that was like on Blogspot and it was horrific and the pictures were all thumbnail sized, and it's like, well, do I really want to be linking people out to that? Not like as a user experience, I didn't want to do that.
I actually have this is what happened to me maybe 4 years ago when I started my audit. A couple of my outbound links were linking to sketchy sites. Because that the owner had abandoned their blog, and then I think they let their domain expire. Someone bought it and turned it into like a porn site or something, or a gambling site.
Yeah.
And that's, again, why you should audit all of your... Like, I kind of have a really strict policy on outbound links now. Like, I'm not going to link to any site unless they're like an Amazon or like some really well-respected site that's been around for a long time.
Yeah, and, you know, back in the day, that was definitely not... I mean, I linked very liberally to people because people linked to me. So it was almost, it wasn't necessarily a reciprocation thing because there wasn't this rule about it. But I just felt like you linked a lot more to people back in, you know, 2009, 2010.
Yeah, definitely. Let's see. The other thing that I did was, and again, this is all along the lines of keyword research. When I figured out that this article wasn't targeting anyone's search, I went and figured out what people are searching for. And then you want to change around your titles and your descriptions for those posts. I had this problem where I wasn't using any heading tags at all for certain articles.
Yes.
And so I went back and I made them, like Google needs these heading tags. It kind of uses it to judge what the article's about. So by formatting your article into paragraphs that cover one distinct point where you're answering that question that people are searching for, that will actually help search also. Again, it's for the machine. I mean, I hate to say it, but, you know,
Well, heading, I think heading tags make sites easier to read, though, for sure.
Oh, it does. It does. But when you have like a story that's like kind of flowing, I would like rip out that story and make it categorized.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, it's sad, but yeah.
Why is Steve yelling at me in all bolded caps? No. So my one of the things that I had, and I think Screaming Frog gave this to me in the audit, was anything before probably 2014, 2013 probably didn't have a meta description.
Yep.
And what's funny is there's a lot funny about this. The funniest part was that I literally started a group for bloggers in 2008 called SEO for Moms, but yet none of my posts had meta descriptions until 2000.
They're invisible, right? So yeah, it's perfectly normal.
So what's interesting is that my posts that I wrote that I knew were for SEO, I mean, which is a stretch to say with the type of stuff that I write about, but the things that I thought Google would like, I did, you know, make my first couple paragraphs pretty SEO friendly, even in the early days, not 2008, but like 2009, 2010. But what happened was when I did this audit, I would say 75% of my content did not have meta descriptions. And then, of course, a lot of that got deleted, but I probably ended up with 40% of stuff not having it. And so I actually gave that job to my VA as well, to where I would have her, and she's in the Philippines, but her English is, she's a, like her degree is in journalism. So her writing skills are pretty good. The only thing that I would say about, she's editing this, so I'll give her a thumbs up. She writes more formal than I do, right? Because she's learned it in school, whereas I've learned it on the streets, basically.
Streets of Orlando.
The streets of Orlando. Got my grammar. But so, you know, occasionally I'll have to just tweak it because it doesn't sound like, you know, it's a little too formal for how I write. But overall, she's pretty good about taking the content and being able to put it in a meta description. So that was another job that I had her work on for a while and that she was very capable of doing. So the broken links and the meta descriptions, I think, are something that a VA can do for you, and then you just need to check it.
So I thought I was being really clever with my descriptions. And so what I did was I had a piece of code that literally just took the first paragraph and just shoved it in the meta description.
I knew you were going to
say that. But it was bad because sometimes it would get cut off like in the middle of a sentence, right? Because because that description can only be a certain length, and it just wasn't good. Like the purpose of that line is to get people to click and to use your keyword in there also. So
yeah, because I think, what do you have, 165 characters?
I can't remember now at this point.
Yeah. It's not a lot. You don't get a lot of space to do that. So, but yeah, that was another thing that I was actually kind of surprised that I had so many missing meta descriptions on my site.
The other big mistake that I made during this audit, or I discovered, was that none of my images had alt tags.
That was my next thing. Okay. Yes.
I mean, Google can't read images, right? So you actually have to tell Google what the image is about. And I was not doing that.
Yeah. I also had the issue of, with images, no alt tags. And then probably from 2008 to 2010, my images were all like, you know, 20 gigabytes each.
Oh, yeah. Right? I had a couple of those.
I just took them from my SLR because initially, like before phones became amazing, I still have a nice camera and I did all my photography on the nice camera in RAW, right? Like, because I was going to edit them, which I never ever did. So, maybe I'd crop them. But then when I would upload them to the site, they were gigantic. And so sometimes I would have her download the image, then, you know, resize it and then re-upload it in a file that can actually be managed on the internet as opposed to, you know, breaking everything.
That's crazy. You have like probably 20,000 images and some of those are raw. That's ridiculous.
Yeah. It's so stupid. That's why I laugh at like people that get started creating content now. I'm like, it's not fair. It's not fair. We did all the work. We made all the mistakes.
It's so much easier today to do
like all the stupid stuff that we're fixing. You already know not to do. It doesn't seem fair anymore.
Or the tools take care of a lot of the stuff. I mean, they're not going to take care of a lot of the stuff that we're talking about today, but some of the stuff like that, tools will take care.
Yes. So once I kind of got through that side of it, I basically burned out and was like, I have to do something different. Because that's the other thing is if you have a lot of content on your site and you're doing a content audit, you very quickly, like you start out it's like the trough of sorrow that we talked about. It's like you start out like really high and like, oh, it's amazing. I'm going to be so awesome. I'm going to rank number one for everything. And then about a week later, you're like, this freaking sucks. I never want to look at my site again. I'm a terrible writer. Like you hate everything about yourself because one, you've read all your crappy content. And then two, you're just sick of going through line by line and fixing stuff or deleting. You know, it's so manual.
I mean, the hardest part about all this for me was the post rewrites and the post consolidations.
Yes. So
what I did, I would just try to rewrite one post per week. That's why I'm still doing it.
Yes.
Because I get new posts that I'm writing also. So I, you know, for a while I was doing two posts a week, one post written from scratch and then another one that was rewritten.
Yeah.
And I'm almost done now. It's been, I'm trying to look at when I started this whole thing. I think it's been 3 years.
Yeah. My I'm looking at a Google Doc that I use. I started this in 2018 in October.
Wow.
So
okay.
It's a long time.
Yeah, so 4 years for you.
Yeah. But I mean, I will say that like the bulk of it was done in the first couple months. Good or bad. I mean, I would spend like a full Saturday just 8 hours doing this. And I think that's probably also why I burned out a little bit is because I was doing all my other stuff and then I would spend all Saturday, you know, it'd be like 75 and beautiful outside and I'm there deleting, you know, pictures of my kids off the internet. So that's when I sunk into the deep depression.
I think for me, I got to the point where I was like, okay, I can't do this with every post. I'm just going to pick like the top 50 and do this for. And then the rest, you know, I might just forget about it or just redirect them to other posts. I think I ended up doing that. I mean, I can't imagine 10,000. I mean, for me with 800, that was hard enough.
Yeah. One of the things that I did though one of the things I think is important if you're doing this and if you have 800 or 5,000, it doesn't matter, is you have to find little wins when you're doing it to keep you motivated to keep going. So like the quick wins of deleting the low hanging fruit of, you know, I'm deleting all the 100 word posts that I have, or I'm deleting all the really junky content. Like that's pretty, you can get that done pretty quickly. One of the other things that I did, it was a post that had really good content and didn't necessarily have to be rewritten, but just adding those heading tags and maybe a table of contents, maybe finding a new image, like quick wins for that post, not a full rewrite. Those, that actually helped me to keep going too, because it felt like, okay, I can mark that post off my list, you know, of posts that I need to fix. And it didn't take me a full day to rewrite and take new photos and do all those other things.
Actually, here's something that if there's anyone who has a podcast out there, when I de-indexed all of my podcast episodes, I mean, that was something that was hard for me to do. But I actually was interviewing, I think, the director of marketing at Ahrefs. And I was like, hey, should I de-index my podcast episodes? Because there's no real content on there, like no written content,
right.
Just audio. And he was like, well, if it doesn't have that much valuable written content, do it. And so I de-indexed all my podcasts, and it actually caused a little blip on my search to go up, because all of a sudden I eliminated like 350 posts that had nothing in it.
Yeah. One of my biggest, this was probably my, and it's still today my biggest problem with the content audit, is that for probably 4 or 5 years, I did these series where I would do, you know, 100 days of homemade gifts or a month of like cleaning tips or organization or whatever. And I would write the first piece of content about, you know, why you should make homemade Christmas gifts, whatever. It'd be a great post, right? And that would be the home base. And then every day for 30 days or 100 days or whatever, I would post a tip or a gift or an idea. But of those, half of them were not my own content, right? So half of them would be linking to a piece of content on my site. Like, so day one would be linked to something I did. Day two would be linking out to someone else's craft. And so on those days where I linked out to other people, it would have a title of like, you know, I don't even know, cork wreath, right? You can make a cork wreath for Christmas. And I didn't make the cork wreath. Someone else did. So I would have a picture, with their permission, I would have a picture of this wreath. I would have a 2 or 3 sentence description, and then I would link to their site. Well, the problem with those posts is sometimes the blog didn't exist anymore, but other times, I mean, that's like a very low quality post, but the post is still getting a ton of traffic either through Google or Pinterest. And I don't know why it still gets traffic through Google. Pinterest, I understand. And so there's just no way I can delete that post, because it actually, it actually drives a lot of traffic to my site. So what I started doing for those is sometimes I would just remake the craft myself and then put the craft on my own site. Like I would change it up. I wouldn't copy them exactly. Mm. I would just do something similar. But that was a big problem because I probably had 50 posts that got a significant amount of traffic that linked out to other people. And it was a two sentence post.
Interesting.
And so,
okay.
So those are ones I couldn't delete.
Yeah.
Right. Because, and then if the link out was broken, that was like first priority, redo the craft or like find a similar craft on my site. Cause I have a lot of crafts. So sometimes I had something pretty similar and I just like rephrased it. But yeah, that was a big problem that I had. And it's one that I still really haven't figured out how to solve exactly, because there's probably two or three posts on my site today that get 1,000 to 2,000 page views a month.
Wow.
You know?
Nuts.
And so it's like,
okay.
Yeah. So that's one I still haven't figured out. And it's probably not super common for people writing today, but if you were writing 7 or 8 years ago and you're in the lifestyle space, you have a series on your site that does this.
Yeah. Well, that's nuts. I mean, I guess for people who are just kind of starting with their content sites, or they already have a site that they've been working on for maybe a year, I think it still pays to go through and run this exercise, because chances are, like, in your first year of doing these things, or even your first couple of years, you're probably not even aware of these things that you're doing with your writing that's causing you not to rank.
Yeah.
So,
and you could already have broken links. I mean, those things could already be the case, even if you've only been writing a year.
Correct. Or you could have like all these stories where Google just wants the answer.
Yeah.
Or
you have an affiliate link to a program that switched affiliate providers and you didn't switch the link up.
Yes, that happens all the time, actually.
Yes. So you know, the affiliate program was with Impact and then they switched over to Share a Sale and you still have an Impact link, you know, and it's a post that actually gets traffic, stuff like that.
And, you know, it's just surprising that a couple of tweaks that might take you, you know, a couple days to implement will have a dramatic effect on your SEO ranking. Well, I hope you enjoyed that episode. Now, for more information about this episode, go to profitableaudience.com/podcast, where we list all of the tools and resources mentioned in our show notes.
And if you enjoyed listening to this episode, please go to Apple Podcasts and leave us a review. When you write us a review, it not only makes our day, but it helps keep this podcast up in the ranks so other people can use this information, find the show more easily, and get some awesome business advice.
Leaving a review is by far the best way to support the show. And please tell your friends, because the greatest compliment that you can give us is to provide a referral to someone else, either in person or to share it on the web.
And if you're interested in building your own profitable audience, subscribe to our free 6-day mini course, where we walk you through the exact steps needed to find your niche, build a website, grab email subscribers, and monetize your content. You can sign up at profitableaudience.com/free.
Thanks for listening.